love, the one who loves us most. I want to introduce to you a very special woman who we love, we know and love, Elizabeth Ola.
And we're glad she's back.
Yes. So glad she's back. You'll hear about that. Yeah. A little teaser. Why was she gone? Right? So I've known Elizabeth for 24 years.
Wow, lucky.
That's a long time.
Yes. Very blessed. Elizabeth has had lots of interesting experiences in her life, and I was like, what are some of the things maybe someone would know about you? That she was a competitive swimmer, so if you need tips, she's your girl. She also taught for many years, especially loves kindergarten and first graders. So if this feels a little bit like that, it's at our level, isn't it, ladies? Because I need it broken down to that kind of age group for me a lot of times. So kindergarten and first grade.
Kindergarten, first, and later added second.
You did add second.
Okay. I did English as a second language.
Oh, that's right. I know. And has lots of degrees also.
One.
And a master's, right?
Yeah.
So there's more than one.
Okay, two.
Three children, two grandchildren. She loves to garden and cook, and she has lots of good stuff about that. Here, actually, John and her husband John and Elizabeth are kind of, I would call, foodies.
So we tried it, foodies.
They have tried out lots of different also restaurants around town, and she has weird art in her home. She called it weird art, but it's actually more folksy and very interesting, colorful, beautiful art. That's something that's unique about her. And she also regularly has house guests from other countries. So if you have any, you know, questions about any of those things, then she's the person to talk to.
You can ask me later.
So
could you open us in prayer first?
I would love to, yeah.
That'd be
so if you can't hear my voice very well or you can't hear Elizabeth, feel free to move a little closer. If you guys can, after I pray, give Elizabeth all your attention, because I know that she really labored over what to share, and this is from her heart to us. So
it's a Valentine.
Yeah, heart. Well, let's pray. Heavenly Father, how good it is to know that you are God and there is no other. You're a being unlike any other. There is no one else who has no beginning, no end, knows everything, and somehow even knows thoughts, even knows things we don't even know. The expanse of the universe, the tiniest little atom, all the molecules, everything, and you hold it all together and make it work for good. We don't understand your ways, but we want to take this moment to listen to what you have been doing in Elizabeth's life and how she has gotten to know you better throughout all of it. And so I pray your blessing on my sweet sister, our sweet sister Elizabeth, and that you would help her communicate what you have for her to communicate today, and that you would give us ears to hear and hearts to believe. And I pray all this because of Jesus Christ. In his precious name, and we commit this time to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Excellent.
Thank you. It should be on. It's not going to make me louder. I'm recording this.
Oh, not a microphone.
No. In fact, I'll explain that really quick first. So on our church website, where it says sermons, if you go in there now, John has changed it a little bit, and there's a new line that says women's ministry. And you go in there, and you're going to find this thing from
Mary Fernandez's talk, and then
the retreat.
And me and Elizabeth.
Right.
So we're adding it so you can listen if you want. It's a resource, and we'll have the link at the end.
Yeah, the handout has the link at the bottom. Okay, so good afternoon, everyone. So nice to see you all. And I'm loving the color, the pink. recently, a friend of mine asked me what God had been teaching me during the last 5 months while I was away in Tennessee. So that's what I'm going to share with you today. And I entitled it, Encouragement in Our Christian Walk. Three lessons in encouragement, because it kind of spans different scenes or scenarios. So the first lesson that I learned was with my mom. My mom needed encouragement to trust God despite her circumstances. On July 3rd, my father died. He slipped out of time and into eternity. He had been my mom's sole caregiver. He was a doctor, and he was her doctor for the last 3 years of her life. She had been blind for about 3 years, and then she fell and she broke her femur, which is the longest and strongest bone in your body. Hard to do, but my mom did it. Anyway, so my dad would go visit her every single day in rehab. He was there morning, noon, and night. And then he would run up the hill. He would run down the hill to visit her in rehab, run up the hill to his place, and then he would eat his meal, and then come back down and hang out with her, and then run back up and eat a meal. So he did a lot of running. So my dad was actually in really good shape for an almost 90-year-old man. But he had big feet. Anyway, that's a different story. You can ask me another time. This is about my mom. So my dad really advocated for my mom. And when I got to Nashville after my dad had died, I found my mom an angry, bitter woman. She was so angry at my dad, she wanted to punch him. She said, "I'm just going to punch him when I see him. I'm so mad at him. Why did he die first?" And she was really angry, and she was afraid. But what she didn't realize or didn't see was that her anger wasn't just directed at my dad. She was really angry with God, because when we have, anytime we're upset with our circumstances, we're really upset with God. And so I was trying to process the things with my dad and process my mom and try and figure out how to minister to her best, to figure out what her need was and how I could meet that need. So I spent a lot of time in prayer and a lot of time in reading scripture, just looking specifically for what she needed and seeking truth to encourage my mom. So in his mercy, God blessed me with all kinds of answers. And I loved the time that I could spend looking into his word and then sharing it with her. God reminded me of the truth that he is sovereign. He's in control of everything. Everything. That's so hard for us to comprehend, the word everything, all. He's also good. And he wants what's best for us eternally. He's holy and pure. He always acts wisely, even when we can't see it or understand it, and we can trust him. He created all things, and he controls all things. So who are we to question his ways? Those were some of the thoughts in my that he was showing me. Some of the words, some of the truth that he showed. We don't always see things God's way. In Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9, God says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts." That's just amazing for us to comprehend. Think of all the things that God controls. He's got the sun shining today. Thank you, God. In Job, there's a lot to say about this. And I put this in the handout I'm going to give you at the end as a reference so you can go back and look at it yourself. But in Job 38 through 41, God answers Job out of a whirlwind. And he says, "Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth?" And then he lists some of the other things that he's in control of. And Castine's going to come up here, and I want you to listen to some of the detail. I mean, the incredible detail of the things God controls, because that's what we have to remember. All of the details that God controls. Who are we?
Mm-hmm. "Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. Who determined its measurements? Surely you know. Or who stretched the line upon it? On what were its bases sunk? Or who laid its cornerstone when the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy? Who shut in the sea with doors when it burst out from the womb, when I made clouds its garment, the thick darkness its swaddling band? Have you commanded the morning since your days began and caused the dawn to know its place that it might take hold of the skirts of the earth and the wicked be shaken out of it? Have you entered the springs of the sea or walked in the recesses of the deep? Have the gates of death been revealed to you? Have you seen the gates of deep darkness? Have you comprehended the expanse of the earth? Declare if you know all this. Where is the way to the dwelling of light? Where is the place of darkness, that you may take it to its territory and that you may discern the paths to its home? Have you entered the storehouses of the snow? Have you seen the storehouses of the hail? Who has cleft a channel for the torrent of rain and a way for the thunderbolt to bring rain on a land? Has the rain a father? Who has begotten the drops of dew? From whose womb did the ice come from? It goes on and on.
Yeah, I think that's
Wait,
good.
There's one more bit.
One more bit.
Can you lift up your voice to the clouds that a flood of waters may cover you? Can you send forth lightnings that they may go and say to you, here we are. Who has put wisdom in the inward parts or given understanding to the mind? Who can number the clouds by wisdom?
All right. So when Job hears all that, after hearing everything that God controls, Job exclaims in chapter 42, verse 2, I know you, God, can do all things, and that no purpose of yours can be thwarted. So that was an important truth that I needed to share with my mom, because she didn't understand why my dad had to go first. But God's plan can't be thwarted. That gave me huge comfort, just knowing that, just resting that. It's like, it was his time to go. Everyone was wondering, well, why was it dad at the mall? Why did he have to be on the escalator? And I was like, does it matter? It doesn't matter. It was his time. God called him then. All right. Scripture says that God even knows how many days we have before we're born. That's amazing. In Psalm 139, verses 15 to 17, the psalmist says, my frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully formed in the depths of the earth. Your eyes have seen my formless substance. In all your books were, and in your books were written all the days that were ordained for me, when as yet there was not one of them. How precious also are your thoughts to me, God. How vast is the sum of them. So when we hear that, we can exclaim with Paul, as he did in Romans 11, 33 and 34, oh, the depth of riches, both of wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments. How unfathomable his ways. For who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who has been his counselor? Not us. God is in control. He's in control of all things, and he can be trusted. But in our rebellion, we often do get angry at God. We want our own way. We want our will to be done, and we want it now. And what does God say about us being angry at him? In Ephesians 4, verse 26 and 27, he says, be angry, but do not sin. So it's okay to be angry, but do not sin and give no opportunity to the devil. When you're angry, confess it to God. Let him know. Confess your anger so that your anger doesn't turn into bitterness, which can separate you from God. Just from the fall in the Garden of Genesis, Satan has been trying to separate us from God. He's been sowing seeds of doubt and distrust. So that's why he says, resist Satan, resist the devil. Peter tells us to humble ourselves and give our ways to God, who is all powerful. 1 Peter 5, verses 7 to 11, say, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, So we can do that because he's all powerful, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all of your anxieties on him, because he cares for you. Be sober-minded. Be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. And again, still just trying to block that communication between you and God. Resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. And after you suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. God brought all these truths to my mind as I encouraged my mom to confess her anger to God and ask him for help in trusting in God's will. Because at first, I was looking and I was like, what is it she's not doing? Oh, she's not trusting. She's not standing firm in her faith. She buried her head in her hands and she said, it was too hard to do to confess her anger to God. She was hurting and her heart was breaking. So I reread verses 9 and 10 to her. Resist the devil, firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. And after you have suffered a little while, this is what I told her, after you suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. She wanted to die. She wanted to go now. She wanted to go right then. I said, well, you have to suffer a little while. He has a plan in that. And then after that, he'll keep his promise. Because we all die. She thought at some point, she says, maybe I'm never going to die. It's like, oh, I'm fairly certain that's not the case. Fairly certain you aren't going to be the one. What was it she needed to do? She needed to stand firm in her faith. She needed to trust God and his plan for her life. She had been trusting my dad for the last 3 years. You know, he told her what to eat. He told her how to exercise. He did this. He did that. Just a little Valentine from them to them. The thing, the artifact that I took when I left my house was a 500-page tiny little notebook about this big, and in it he had recorded her blood pressure, her weight, for every single day. Three times a day. And I sent that to my children, and I said, this is what love looks like. You know, he loved her. He cared for her. It was incredible. So yes, she had been trusting my dad. But I said, you know, Mom, you've been trusting Dad, but I think God wants you to trust him. And he wants you to trust him alone. And that's why I gave you that little extra time so you could remember. Because she did trust God. There was many a times when she did. But she had forgotten. And so she needed to remember and be reminded that God alone is her treasure. So Scripture tells us that God is a jealous God. And he wants us to look to him alone. Psalm 62, verses 1 and 2 say, for God alone my soul waits in silence. You know, I've heard this verse a million times and I never focused on the word alone. But that's where it's most important. God alone my soul waits in silence. From him comes my salvation. He alone is my rock and my salvation. She had been trusting my dad, but Jesus says in Matthew 10, verses 37 to 39, and also again in Luke, whoever loves his father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Hard saying for children to hear. Whoever loves a son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. In Luke it says, whoever loves their wife or husband more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever does not take up their cross and follow me is not worthy of me. I believe my mother did ultimately confess her sin to God and ask for forgiveness, because the last 2 weeks of her life she participated more in the things around her, and she seemed to have joy, or at least she had peace. That was encouraging. So part one of my series of encouragement was encouraging my mom, one-on-one, to confess her anger with God and to seek help in trusting his ways. Our second lesson in encouragement was from co-laborers, or fellow servants in Christ. I call them sweet gifts from God. Now that my dad was gone, I began to think, how can I encourage my mom to live? You know, she's been in this bubble of darkness, and she can't see, and she can't walk, and nothing's going her way. I was like, how can I encourage my mom? And so I figured my sister and I could do some. We would be there every day. My sister took the afternoon after work. I took the morning shift. But we were going to need help. We needed help from her church family, because it's your church family that is your encouragement. Isolation is never good. I'm going to give you a little background on my mom. And this is kind of fun for me. I may cry, but I may not. But I have my tissue if I do. When I was growing up, my mother was very active in church. She taught children Sunday school. She prepared the Lord's Supper. She needle-pointed vestments for garments that the clergy would wear. She served in the kitchen. And by the time I was in high school, we started having two services on Sunday mornings. We had an early service and a later service. And my mom would get up before dawn and drive 30 minutes to downtown Nashville, where she would prepare scrambled eggs and grits and bacon and Martha White self-rising flour biscuits. That was the thing in the South. Still is. And she would do that for the choir and the clergy and any family members who wanted to eat in between those two services, because there wasn't time. There weren't any houses in that area, so there wasn't time to just run home and come back. You know, if you were going to stay for both services, you needed about 30 minutes to eat, go to the bathroom, and then get ready for the next service. So that was not a job for her. It was her passion. She volunteered at that. It was a labor of love. I got to help with the bacon. It was fun. Anyway, later, she went on and she made it even more. She cooked monthly dinners for the elders and the church staff as they would have their staff meetings. And then she would invite a lot of these people to her home on a regular basis for dinner. And to show you how important that was to her, she chose to be buried in a shroud, which is a cloth that was made from a linen and lace tablecloth to commemorate the fellowship that she had with these people. My mother lived the truth of 1 Peter 4:10-11. Quick aside, Wanda's not here, but I noticed that Wanda, when she sends out an email, this is the verse that's at the bottom, which I thought was really kind of cool. As each one has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks as one who speaks oracles of God. Whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies. In order that in everything God might be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Ever since my mom had lost her sight, she had resisted visiting with church family. She kind of sheltered away, and my dad didn't push her. He enjoyed taking care of her himself, but now he was gone. So I was thinking, what can we do? How can we meet that need? But God in his mercy blessed us even at my father's memorial service. So he provided an answer. My mom was not able to attend the memorial service. She physically, we debated all the ways. There was no way to get her there. So my sister and I were there to greet all the people who came to see my dad. My dad was kind of a pillar of the community, as far as medical community. So my sister and I were there to greet the people, and I had met them maybe 40 years prior, but I didn't remember them. And yet I did recognize some of them, and some of them I did remember. And then one by one, these women started coming up to me and asking what they could do to help my mom. And they started handing me business cards with phone numbers and email contacts. I was like, whoa, I don't even have a business card. That was cool. And these ladies were in their 80s. Yeah, 70s and 80s with their business card. Before long, five beautiful women had committed to set aside time every week to come and visit Brookdale, to visit my mom. They would laugh and cry. They would read and pray with my mom. They would remember old times together, and they would speak truth to her. She was kind of argumentative. And they were such an encouragement. I marveled later on to realize that these were some of the same ladies who used to enjoy my mom's cooking and who were part of her prayer group. These women embodied the words of Colossians 3:12-13. Put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another. Some days my mom was not an easy person to deal with, and yet they served her graciously, filled with the love of Christ. I always knew who really knew my mom, because they would drop some kind of hint and say, "See, she hasn't lost her sense of humor." Meaning sarcasm. These were women who had been like family for more than 50 years. Coming to her home for dinner, they worshiped together, they served in various ministries side by side, they prayed with each other. In the end, it seemed right to invite them to a very small, very private family burial service. They were an encouragement to her in life and in death. And I think my mom really needed those visits. They restored a confidence in her salvation that had been missing for a while. Praise God for co-laborers or fellow servants in Christ. When you serve Christ with other believers, there is a special bond that can last a lifetime. That's true for us too. So the first lesson in encouragement was with my grieving mother through scripture and prayer. The second model of encouragement came from fellow servants of Christ, coming alongside, reliving, shared experiences, and reminding her of truth. A third example of encouragement came from you ladies, from the Tuesday Ladies Bible Study with Grace Church of Santa Rosa. Despite the group of godly women who ministered to my mother and myself, because they totally ministered to me too, my husband John and I missed our church family. We missed the people here at Grace Church Santa Rosa. Not the building, but the people. That was for Carl. Connection with the body of Christ is so vital. We know the truth of Hebrews 10:24-25. Let us hold fast then to the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir one another up to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another all the more as you see the day drawing near. John and I really struggled with what to do about worship. While my mom was alive, I would get up very early and run down to her Brookdale, and I'd set up my phone in a bowl so she could hear it, and we would listen to the church service together so that she would not be out of fellowship with her body. That ministered to her, and that was important to me. And she liked to talk about what she heard. Often, her church would send a couple of ladies to pray with her afterwards, and then they would give her communion. So that was another fun little thing. I had wanted to attend church in person somewhere while I was in Nashville. Even Cassie was able to do it for a week. but I couldn't pull it together. But ministering to my mom took priority. And I kept wondering how John and I could do any more than just attend on a Sunday morning. There was no extra time to become a part of the body. The body is living. So we made a commitment to listen to Grace Church of Santa Rosa every Sunday afternoon. And for those of you that don't know, I already gave this plug, but we have a website with our sermons on it. They're recorded every Sunday, and they're usually posted by the time everyone's left the building. And the website is on, their address is on the handout that we'll give you in a minute. So little plug for that. This will also be on there. We visited several churches, but the relationships were not already established. And with the death of two parents, I needed encouragement right then. I couldn't wait to build the relationship. And I didn't have energy to start a new relationship. That would be short-lived. So I prayed for guidance. And this is a little aside, but having experienced the loving kindness of the Lord through the sweet ladies that ministered to my mom, John and I decided we were going to slowly drive home to California. And when I say slowly, I mean no more than 4 hours a day and stay maybe 3 or 4 days with different friends and family along the way. This was a beautiful way to share our grief, and I highly recommend it if you're ever in that situation, because we were able to share our grief with all our loved ones, and they were able to love us back and support us back. And each sister-in-law and brother-in-law, every uncle and every aunt, ministered to our spirits while they shared their life experience with us. But we still missed our church family. There wasn't a replacement. So as soon as it began in the fall, I joined the Tuesday Ladies Bible Study by phone. This was a life support that carried me through as we traveled homeward. Hearing your sweet voices, singing choruses, and reading scripture, asking questions, sharing prayer requests, kept me connected, even though we were 2,000 miles apart. It reminded me of Colossians 3:16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. I realized that you all of you, are the one another's that God put in my heart. You are the ones in whose lives I've been placed for sweet fellowship and encouragement. And it's a joy to serve Christ here with you and watch you grow. After the death of a parent or two, your mind is very busy processing the supernatural event. It's not an easy process, and it doesn't go linearly. It's hard to think straight or deep. Brain fog is real. Thankfully, God was merciful to lift the brain fog long enough for the study of Matthew. And during the weeks on the road, it was such a blessing to spend time in God's Word, reading Scripture, preparing lessons, knowing that I would hear and discuss it with you all on Tuesday mornings. I needed the discipline of a study like that to keep me grounded in the Word, not just wallowing in self-pity and numbing myself with mindless entertainment. God is so faithful. So for believers, Paul reminds us in Colossians 3:1-4, if any have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above and not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. So how do my struggles apply to all of this? Is there some circumstance in your life that is making you angry? Have you realized that you're really angry at God? Do you trust him to do what's best for you eternally? Have you trusted Jesus for your forgiveness of sins? If you have trusted him, have you nurtured anger or frustration toward God that you need to confess to him? Second part was, where can you look for encouragement in your Christian walk? How can you be an encouragement to other sisters? Are you part of a small group within the body of Christ? Do you participate in Sunday school or a home fellowship group? Are you part of the Good News Club or the youth group or Tuesday morning Bible study? Do you have an area of service that includes others in the body? Can you share contact information quickly with someone in need? My husband said, you should say, can you, do you have a business card? I was like, nobody has a business card. I use a phone. On whom or what are your thoughts focused? Do you read or think about God's Word? Or are you busy thinking about your own feelings Or do you just keep your mind busy with distractions? So what have I been learning? First, we can turn to Scripture and prayer to encourage a grieving loved one right at the point of their greatest need, which is always found in Jesus Christ. Second, co-laborers or fellow servants in Christ build special bonds that can last a lifetime. Third, we need the body of Christ, and we need to abide in the Word of God, for it is here that we find life and refreshment. In 1 Thessalonians 5, 9-11, Paul writes, "For God has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we might live with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up, just as you are doing." Thank you, ladies at Grace Church, for your prayers, especially in this difficult season of life. And then I wanted to close with some help with the small group. And I know if you're in the Good News Club and you want to sing, come on up. One of the small groups that I get to participate in, thanks to Kylie, is the Good News Club. And sometimes a simple children's song is the perfect in a moment of great need. The song they're going to sing, you got a little handout, and they're going to sing it for you first, once through, and then we're going to try it together. And this is a song that was on repeat in my head from the moment my mom died throughout the rest of that day. So, and it just, I just woke up with that song in my head around 5 o'clock in the morning while she breathed her last breath. And this song was playing in my head on repeat all day. And it's very encouraging. And these wonderful volunteers are supporting me and encouraging me and you. You ready, Kylie?
Yeah.
All right. And I'll stand way back here and sing. And I don't know what. Hang on.